When we first started our study of the epistle to the Hebrews, we noticed that it began like an essay in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Then we noticed that it progressed to like a sermon beginning in chapter 2, and we're now noticing that it ends like a letter. So as we get within this final chapter, we see the tone of this letter taking on the characteristics of more of a personal correspondence. As with many of the other letters in the New Testament, this letter ends with various exhortations. The first regarding their love, their objects of their love, in chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, which is where we're at this morning. Here we find the author practicing what he preaches. He's seeking to stimulate love and good works, as he mentioned in chapter 10, verse 24. Now, as Christians, toward whom we should manifest our love, certainly toward all men as well, but even our enemies, as Jesus would tell us in Luke 6, verses 32 and 35. But in the text of our attention here, it's focused upon manifesting love first. And as we notice in verse 1, it's toward the brethren. He says, let brotherly love continue. The importance of brotherly love is a mark of true discipleship, as Jesus tells us in John 13, verse 35. It is an indication of true spiritual love, as John would write in 1 John 3, and verse 14. Now, the Hebrews had manifested brotherly love because we notice that the writer says that they are to continue in their love. They had demonstrated or shown brotherly love in the past, in their ministry to God and the saints, as he wrote in chapter 6 and verse 10, and even in their service to this author, chapter 10, verses 32 and 34. But the need for brotherly love never goes away. It never diminishes. Paul wrote on multiple occasions, like in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 and 10, that the Thessalonians were to excel in their love. And he wrote to the brethren at Philippi in chapter 1 of Philippians in verse 9, that their love was to abound. And Peter wrote that our love should abound in 2 Peter 1, verse 7. So even now, the author of the Hebrew letter says, let brotherly love continue. No matter how much we may have manifested or shown our love toward one another as brethren in the past, it is imperative, it's vital that this love continues. And it's equally important that it's shown, that this manifestation of love continues, not only toward brethren, but he says in verse 2, toward strangers. Here he says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. This is a call for hospitality. The Greek word there literally means a love of strangers. And it what it means here, it involves receiving a stranger, or as the Bible would call it, a sojourner, into your home as an honored guest and to provide that guest with food, with shelter and protection, according to Holman's Bible Dictionary. Now, in many ancient cultures, hospitality was a very important, very solemn duty. It was regarded as a sacred obligation by the ancient Greeks and Romans, one that was approved by Zeus, the god and protector of strangers. The Egyptians claimed it was a meritorious deed in life. The Bedouins, for them, it was an expression of righteousness, again, according to Holman's Bible Dictionary. The word hospitality, we understand that hospitality is one form of worship, according to a Jewish proverb. In the early church, it was an important part of ministry. Christians were often displaced in the first century by persecution, public places to sleep, like inns or hotels, if you will, were scarce, and they cost a lot of money when you could find them, and sometimes they were dangerous. So traveling evangelists were to be supported through hospitality, 3 John verses 5 through 8. And so, hospitality was to be manifested or shown by those who would serve as elders or bishops or pastors, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, Titus 1 and verse 8. And those widows who would be taken into the number were to show hospitality, 1 Timothy 5 verses 9 and 10. It was to be shown by all who were Christians, Romans chapter 12, verse 13, and 1 Peter 4 and verse 9. But he goes on and tells us that there's a reason to practice this hospitality. Notice he says, "For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." You look at the example of Abraham in Genesis 18, verses 1 through 8. The example of Lot in Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. The point is not that we should expect angels to literally come our way. Though some would entertain, we may serve as his messengers, or angel means messenger, in a providential sense. The key idea here is that you never know what hospitality might bring, according to Lightfoot. One often receives unexpected benefits from his or her guest. And there's always the blessedness of giving, Acts 20 and verse 35. The physical need for hospitality today may not be as great as it was in ancient times, like in the first century. But there's still a great need in the spiritual sense. Strengthening the spiritual ties is just as important today as it was in the physical sense in the first century or in ancient times. So we need to be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as Peter would tell us in 1 Peter 4 and verse 9. The manifestation or the showing of our love should also extend, as he tells us in verse 3, toward prisoners and the persecuted. He says in verse 3, "Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." This is a call for them to remember those who are imprisoned. Christians in the first century were often persecuted and imprisoned for their faith. Prior to his conversion, Paul often led that very assault on those who were of the way, those who were Christians. We see that in Acts 8 and verse 3. And he tells us that very point as he recounts his own conversion in Acts 26 and verses 9 through 11. Later, he himself was also a prisoner, and he greatly appreciated the hospitality that was shown to him, as he would talk about in Philippians 1 verses 12 through 18, Colossians 4 and verse 18. Now these Hebrews had already shown their love towards such prisoners, as he noted in chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. To remember and visit Christians in prison was an act of devotion to Christ himself. It's what Jesus talked about in Matthew 25, verses 35 through 40. Now their provisions for these prisoners would be a sweet-smelling sacrifice, a well-pleasing to God. Philippians 4 and verse 18. And they could also remember them in their prayers. Acts 12 and verse 5. Ephesians 6 verses 18 through 20. Their loving remembrance was to be influenced, though, by their sense of fellowship in their brethren's suffering. Remember the Hebrew writer says in verse 3, "as if chained with them." The Lord intended there to be a connection between members of his body. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. It's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26. And by their awareness of their own vulnerability, remember the writer says in our text in verse 3 here, "since you yourselves are in the body also." We should not be immune. We need to understand that we're not immune to persecution ourselves, just as they were being warned in the first century. So they should be sensitive to the sufferings of others as well as we today. In providing a new and living way, it is true that Jesus made possible a close relationship between man and God. Hebrews 10 verses 19 through 22. But the purity that we experience through obeying the truth It's not just that the way we have fellowship with God, but also that we may have fellowship with each other in sincerity and love. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 22, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. So it just naturally follows that as we draw nearer to God, we should also draw nearer to one another. And this is often manifesting the love, as we've seen in our text here in these three verses. In verse 1, toward brethren. In verse 2, toward strangers. And in verse 3, toward prisoners and those that are persecuted. Being a Christian sometimes is a struggle. And sometimes showing that love or hospitality to those outside of our Christian family is a challenge. And the Hebrew writer tells us here, as Paul tells us in Galatians 6 and verse 10, that we're to show, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith, but we're to do good to people out in the world as we have opportunity. We need to look at this passage exactly as what it is, an exhortation. And we need to be diligent to listen to what the Hebrew writer tells us here. We need to put some effort into doing what he says when he tells us to let brotherly love continue. I pray that all of us will exercise that manifestation, that it will be seen in all of our lives. It may be that you would like to discuss this lesson with me even more. You can feel free to email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can go back to the church's website, that's church@eastside.com, and listen to this lesson again. Or you can listen to other lessons that we have there as well. You can listen to past radio lessons. You can listen to sermons that I have preached. You can also listen to sermons that we had in a gospel meeting this past week. I encourage you to read or to listen to those lessons. They're very encouraging, filled with scripture, and that's what we all ought to expect. If our preacher today is not using the scriptures to deliver his message, then maybe you need to question that or look for somewhere else to worship. You can visit with us this morning at the Eastside Congregation. We'll meet at 9 a.m. for Bible study, 10 a.m. for worship, this evening at 5 p.m. for another period of worship, and on Wednesdays we have a midweek Bible study at 7 p.m. On Sunday morning in our Bible study, we're in the New Testament, and on Wednesday evenings, we're in the Old Testament. We just recently began a study of 1 Samuel. But like I said, if you'd like to email me, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. Or you can go to the church's website, that's church@eastside.com, and listen to this lesson or other lessons again. I want to thank you for being with me today.